And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Our message is woven around verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The topic assigned to me, as is stated in a bulletin here, maintaining a marriage in the midst of suffering. Paradoxically, maintaining a marriage in the midst of suffering, as we study the case, perhaps it is the other way around. To maintain a marriage in the midst of prosperity, riches, and wealth. Now, the church is a bride of Christ, and Jesus Christ is a husband of the church. And when Jesus addresses the church of Ephesus and says to the church, thou hast left thy first love, it reflects the husband and wife relationship. Especially when Ephesus is a rich church, a powerful church, and it is at Ephesus that the Apostle Paul has established his headquarters in the west, so that Ephesus is called the Antioch of the West. It was very zealous for the Lord. Yes, indeed, in her first love, she would sacrifice everything for the Lord and cling to him, giving him the honor and preference and every glory, such as they brought after these magicians have repented, their magic books to be burned. They were worth $50,000 in those days. They would never retain anything that was offensive to the Lord. They were so fully devoted to the Lord. As a young lady, before she gets married, and she yearns for her husband to be. And those of you who have gone through this stage of life can remember how sweet it was when Both young men and young women yearn for each other. They long for each other. It was a joy to talk to one another. It was heaven on earth to be in such relationship. But now, when the church has grown powerful and wealthy, and although they have been serving the Lord in a way quite faithfully, to test those who are not apostles and to find out them to be liars and to hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans and still following the Lord, but somehow that zeal in the very beginning has subsided. You have left your first love. Let us examine ourselves. Is it not so that when we first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are so full of zeal for our Lord, we would come to every meeting of the church, we would do everything we can to serve the Lord. But after years, and after the Lord has blessed us in many ways, we did not realize that it has been His wonderful hand, and we just take it for granted. What we call familiarity breeds contempt. And according to psychologists who have reported to us about marriages, it seems that when the couple has reached the middle age, that there is a greatest danger of leaving that first love. And then quarrels, separation, and divorce. Familiarity breeds contempt. You look at me and I look at you, and then we take it to be something very common, which is a very great mistake. In a marriage, when love begins to subside, that is the beginning of red light danger. And so, this happened to the church at Ephesus because familiarity breeds contempt. And so there is a Chinese saying, same bed, different dreams. And when they sleep together, one faces the east, one faces the west. There is not the closeness, the loving kindness that was in the very beginning. Especially when they have different tastes. One likes to play mahjong. I remember in Canada, there was a young lady who said to me, I cannot baptize now. I said, why? Because I still love my mahjong. And I'm needed to be one of the kaki, that is one of the partners. And the husband likes to do something else. And that brings in an estrangement. Even among Christians, there are other Christians who play mahjong, especially in Hong Kong. That is a very familiar game, and especially when the dinner doesn't start, so they have a few rounds of mahjong before the makan begins, as I've experienced in Hong Kong. But we, Life Church, do not favor anyone playing mahjong here. These are things of the world, and it's dissipating our time, and it does not bring any glory to God. It happens with Christians. I've counseled many couples, and even among Christians, there are those who are tempted and led astray. A second instance is a young man of a church. And as the story goes, it's the same story. He gets attracted to the young secretary in his office. And then he begins to come home late. And then a quarrel starts with his wife. But the wife is very patient. Whenever he would return home, she would kindly receive him without a second word. And then it was revealed that the husband was quite quarrelsome with his new girlfriend. Vice versa. And the young lady there also was full of difficulties for him. So the wife told me about this. Then I said, all right, let us then pray that this girl will quarrel with her husband, and that will be a good solution. And we prayed. And truly the Lord listened to us, and I said, you don't argue with your husband when he comes home, just receive him kindly. Well, this is the only case I succeeded in counseling marital troubles. The Lord was gracious. The lady, the wife, was very gracious too. She would forget all about the past. And the husband returned home. Then there is a third case. It's with a Christian couple. And when the son was born, they say, hey, this doesn't look like your husband. He hasn't got any features of the father. And then it was found out that this was another man's produce. Of course, when the baby was tested medically, it was found to be true that it is another man's son. Naturally, this led to divorce. I'm just giving you three instances from my counseling this experience. The important thing to remember as husband and wife, the many wise words, particularly from the Apostle Paul, to maintain the good marital relationship, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 40 verses, he has plenty to say. The first thing is that the husband has no power over himself, nor the wife, but both are linked together and they must work together. Therefore, the first thing about husband and wife is that you should not defraud one another. That is to say, do things that are not mutually conducive, but come together again. The conjugal love must be regularly maintained, because if not, some temptation may come and you may thereby be led astray. This is something very important for husband and wife, to keep up the sacred union, that we may be bound together and that we may be loving in our attitude to each other, in our talk with one another. But here is a case that I met in Australia, and the husband has to go to some far off place by plane, doing mining work, which pays, of course, much better than ordinary payment, because for the sake of earning his bread and butter, he has to leave the wife for several weeks at a time. And it does not work out happily because while the husband is away, the wife will be thinking of him. And our counsel to the couple is that the best is that you try to get another work, although it's less paying. And I think that is right. The same counsel is given by another pastor, that the husband should stop going to the far-off place to work. And then, finally, this is positively. There is a sentence by Dr. Carl McIntyre in his book of Maxims. And it says that a woman can make it very hard for a man. Pardon me, ladies. This is what he said. But Paul says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, be not bitter against your wives, but love them. Don't be bitter. Well, sometimes the husband is really at a great disadvantage. Coming home, there's no food. Coming home, things are all in a mess. And he is tired and is waiting for some wifely care. And he doesn't get it. He may become very bitter. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, particularly, three times he urges, husbands, love your wives. Husband, love your wife. Three times. Because she is one body with you. And who will not love his own body? So in this matter, if the husband is very much nagged against by the wife, you just have to forget about it and be kindly affectionate, and you must take the initiative to love your wife. One reason why she nags against you is that you don't care as much as you should for her. So the Apostle Paul tells us in very plain words, be not bitter against them, but love them. And this I found out from my own experience. To be very frank, we cannot keep a scoreboard. The wife may have all the advantages. Just forget about it and show your love, and things will return to normal. Well, this is so much as I've explained to you concerning marital relationship in a world of wealth and riches such as Singapore. Couples are quite well provided, and yet these things happen. But now we come to the main topic, and that is maintaining a marriage in the midst of suffering. Conversely, in a situation of suffering, the marital relationship may work out even to be better. And as I look through scripture, I came to the perfect example of none other than Mary and Joseph. Joseph, the foster father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and Mary, the mother, virgin-born son of God. If anyone can be said to be in poverty, then it is the royal family, the holy family. Not only in poverty, but in fear of persecution, in great danger with Herod's sword coming after our Lord Jesus Christ. So, The angel of the Lord revealed to Joseph that night, and they escaped quickly, having the gifts from the wise men that they used for their substance for travel. And then they went down to Egypt. In Cairo, we were shown the place where the Holy Family had lived. Whether it's the right spot or not, it is somewhere there. And after some time, when the storm had blown over, they returned to their home country in Nazareth. And then we find that they came when Jesus was 12 years of age, so he had attained maturity. He came to keep the Passover, and the parents somehow lost him. There were so many people. They thought that the young man Jesus was traveling with them, but actually he remained behind to speak to the doctors and to discuss theological questions with them until after 3 days. And they came, they sorrowed for not seeing Jesus. And after that, it's recorded that Jesus Christ, he grew in stature and increased in wisdom and found favor with God and men. He truly had a very wholesome, wonderful upbringing. He grew up in the love and nurture of godly parents. In Nazareth Church, that is a big Roman Catholic church, there are many steps down in the basement, and then there is a hole there with a well. And they said this is where Jesus came, and it drew water out of the well to supply the needs of the family. It may be so, but it is very true that Jesus did all the house chores to upkeep the family, and there are the younger brothers and sisters who were born after him. He did the work of a big brother. Joseph, his foster father, being a carpenter, he would naturally be working in the workshop, making tables and chairs and so forth. And Jesus would be helping Joseph. Jesus was a carpenter. And that's what they say, this carpenter's son. But one thing we know, maintaining a marriage in a suffering situation, in poverty, in danger, not much is recorded of Joseph and Mary, but we are sure that they had a perfect example of parenthood and our Lord Jesus Christ, when he grew up, year by year, found great satisfaction living with Mary. And how close his relationship with the Holy Virgin Mother was. When at about 30 years old, and he attended a wedding in Cana, and they ran out of wine. Wine, not the alcoholic drinks today, but the wine is very little fermented, just about 3% to preserve the grape juice. And when the mother made a request, Jesus showed the fullness of his humanity. Many times we Chinese say, this person is not a human being. This person has no sense of humanity. All that he wants is that he should be pleased. And when his pleasure is attained, well, he doesn't care anyone. But not our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul also says, and King David, he did the things to please the people. Please in the right way. There's a great need. And Jesus performed the first miracle at the word of the mother. So these are all instances to show us that here is the example and the model for all of us maintaining a marriage during times of suffering, so that as we see many poor families around us and they manage to go on, in fact their husband and wife relationship may be better than ours, who because of familiarity and all the goodness we get, we forget God and forget the grace that He has showered upon us. There is a story I'd like to tell you, which I read in Jason Lane, my good friend's book, Pioneering in Diakonia. This story was published in a newspaper by some observant newspaper man. It was in the year 1937. There, a war broke out between Japan and China. And the Japanese invaded Shanghai. And Shanghai is a rather international city with the international settlements. So there are those who escape into the international settlement, but they have very high barriers, high fence. So those who escape into the international settlement area, they were still hungry, they waited for food. And there are those who are from the outside, Chinese people of course, and they took pity on them, so they have brought a lot of pao and they threw them across a fence. But the ground is surely very much soiled by the many people there. And one pao landed on the ground that was full of filth. The wife picked it up and she peeled off the skin of the pao and gave the inside to the husband to eat. And she herself rubbed off the dirt and ate the rest. They were so hungry. And this became such a famous incident that the newspaper carried the story of how a wife expressed her love to her husband. She took the bad part, she gave the good part to the husband. And the husband was rather sickly. That's the reason. It was a wife who caught the things that were thrown in. And this she did not only once but twice. What a beautiful story of marital love between a woman and a man. That is a saying, behind every man, now there is a woman. And so to you wives, I must say this, you can cause your husband to make or to break. Because one will chase 1,000. Two will chase 2,000? No. Two will chase 10,000. When the wife comes in to help the husband and add to the effect, the power is increased not double but 10 times. So many times, the wifely help by the side of the husband makes good and gives promotion to the husband. But so many times when the wife is not in concert, in unison with her husband, but she goes against him, then that is the destruction of the husband. This morning, maintaining the marital relationship, whether in wealth or prosperity or in suffering and poverty, the story, the answer is the same. When you have left your first love, then things begin to deteriorate and suffering comes in. But when you have that love, oh, how wonderful it is. There is another story. A case of the newly married couple, they were walking along the railway in Canada. And there was a bend. They did not know that the train was coming. When suddenly it appeared, the wife's shoe was caught in the railway, the rail. And the husband, not able to snatch her out, willingly embraced her, and both of them were taken by the train. This story appeared in the Reader's Digest many years ago. And that is a love that will build up families, that will give the husband success, that will bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All I've been talking about happened with Christian couples. And now we thank God for all the wives here that you have helped your husbands. I pray that your love between each other may increase tenfold, that there should not be the familiarity breeding contempt syndrome. And this is possible if you maintain it, forgiving each other. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, for the example of the Holy Family. And we thank Thee for Jesus' word to the church of Ephesus, to remind us, even as a church, we should maintain that loving kindness to Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom, and we the bride. May our church serve Thee with this first love, and may our husbands and wives love one another with the same first love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.